of how we are going to be doing it. I'll be speaking from about 8 o'clock or so, 8:30 to about 5:30 on that Saturday. And then Sunday, with some time off for lunch. And then Sunday, right now, Sunday morning at a church and Sunday evening at a church. He said he might even find one in the afternoon. And I almost said, well, just give me a break, you know. It's all right. But so be in prayer about that. And we'll have a prayer time tomorrow night together in that respect. Also, please continue to remember David McNeil. Sue Bayless will have her first treatment for her cancer Thursday. So please be in prayer for Sue Bayless at this time. And so anybody have anything else we need to be aware of? Okay. How was your trip home?
Good.
Good. How are your parents?
Good.
Good. Okay. All right, let's begin tonight. Good. Well, let's get have a little word of prayer, orienting ourselves to what we're doing, and that the Spirit can open our eyes. One of the biggest problems in the Christian life is, to me, understanding spiritual life. And I think it can easily be said, if that is true, because to claim that I can understand love is I can understand God. Why? Because God is love. And therefore, if we have that problem, it certainly is indicative of the fact that we have problems in understanding faith. Because certainly faith is the manner in which, first of all, we're going to understand Scripture. Faith is also the manner in which we are going to manifest that love. And we're not going to be able to understand Scripture without the power of God, the Holy Spirit. That is so obvious to me in opening up the Scripture. So let's spend a few moments in prayer, testing ourselves to see if we are in proper faith relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as strange as it might sound to the human ear, the study of love is such a volatile study, Heavenly Father, to study law, even righteousness, concepts of justice. They're so clear. At least they give the appearance of being clear. The black and white, as we say, of right and wrong. But Heavenly Father, understanding love takes us into the great turmoil and the great troubles of understanding you. So Father, we pray tonight that your Spirit will open our eyes in the few minutes that we will spend together here in looking at some Scripture and seeing this, some things about love and how it's related to faith, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. People have a great deal of trouble all through church history. This is not an American thing. This is not a current thing, but we are aware of it because this is the time in which we live as far as marriages, and Christian divorces. One of the reasons that so many people marry and perhaps marry the wrong person and leave husbands and wives is often dealt with around the word love. And therefore, pastors reacting to how this false concepts of love, wrong concepts of love, often love that is picked up not just by movies, though I'm going to use that, but even books written by man. I think give man, and mean by man here, I mean the body of Christ, gives us a wrong view about love. And love ought to be this, and love ought to be that. And Hollywood presents all of these, and books are written so filled with this fire that builds up, and boy, this is it. And either for the person not married, sometimes the person married, the marriage is weak in so many areas. They are not walking by faith, and therefore do not fulfill each other even sexually, as per our study in Corinthians, forsaking not one another. And somebody comes along, and so it's out of love. We leave husband, we leave wives. Pastors react, and love is weak. Love is there, so we need to go to what? We need to go to righteousness. We need to go to justice. We need to go to law. Righteousness has the norms and standards, and to use a word that is used a lot, and even books have titled it now. The integrity comes from law. Integrity comes from righteousness, doing what is right, so I can control the husband, I can control the wife, I can control society. But does all of this add up and come from Scripture? Is love in Scripture? Is love weak? And does love make one weak? Is love that God gives us without standards and norms, as it were? And therefore, if we go just by spiritual love, are we going to come to wrong decisions and conclusions in life? What's the scriptural view? And if you answer yes to that, then you have a problem, because God is love. And so God's going to come to wrong conclusions. And if he goes by it, if we're guided by love, then that's going to be guided by weakness. Is that true? Okay. God gave up his son to die on a cross out of his love. That is clearly stated in Scripture. Clearly stated in Scripture. Okay, is God weak in doing that? And is that a weak decision by God? Let's take up another decision out of what we'll just understand as love. In fact, we'll even talk about love, if you please, in regard to a woman. We have God, second member of the Godhead, the Son of God, actually giving up and setting aside heaven and setting aside his deity. Why? Because of his love for a woman, his bride. So in order to gain a bride, Jesus Christ gives up heaven and gives up, sets aside deity, and lowers himself because of his love for a woman. Weakness. Is that what you want to call that? Bad decisions? Maybe our problem, no maybe about it, our problem is we do not understand love from Scripture. We have a human understanding of love. We have all the poetry and all the movies and all the books and songs and all of this stuff. And I'm as strong here as anyone. I love poetry. I have probably over 100 poetry books and enjoy reading them. But when we start allowing these things to interfere into an understanding of what love really is, then we become confused about it and become discouraged with it, and then I've got to go to something that's stronger and has more teeth and all of this. And what people generally will go to is to righteousness and justice, and the best way that is demonstrated and clearly defined is in the law, 10 commandments, that type of thing. And so this is what people have crammed down their throat in this regard. So the problem is really not his love. The problem is really in an understanding of his love, what love is. Because if we truly begin to grasp what love is, for an example, we'll see this in 1 Corinthians 13, we'll find out that love is not love, spiritual love, love from God, is not weakness. Spiritual love is not without its norms and standards, as it were, just using that phrase, But spiritual love actually gives and contains the norms and standards, and spiritual love actually makes us very strong in the Lord, very strong in our Christian life. And those are some of the things we're going to see in regard to spiritual love. But so often we get just the wrong idea. We become discouraged in a husband-wife relationship. What we'll put here is romantic. In a romantic relationship, and this is fed and encouraged by Hollywood and movies and books and all of the subject matters and all the obsession with love. And I don't think that, as I was going through and working more on spiritual love, I don't think that this is wrong, and I don't think it's just a coincidence that man is, if you want to absorb with love, and we'll put the word sex here, and the things that even Sigmund Freud saw, though he didn't understand any of it, he saw something that God was doing with us, and all of these people are touching something very close to this whole thing of love. And it's a demonstration of sex and this type of thing. This is no accident. This is powerful. And I think that it's by God's design that it's supposed to be, so that we can become closer and closer to understanding His love, so that we will be drawn to a love that is true, a love that we're supposed to understand and grasp. This isn't just something that is one of the things that we do in life, like eating. No, this is something very powerful, and it's so powerful. We start off with Adam giving up the garden to be with a woman. God giving up heaven and deity to gain a bride. And the play that it has, not only in life, but in the Bible. And I don't think this is an accident at all. I think it's one of those things that God is just another thing that God has put inside of our soul, and it's not fulfilled until we grasp His love. And then we begin to grasp what love really is and the satisfaction of love in our life. And that's just another reason why I think that some of the things that we're looking at on Tuesday night are so vital, not just theologically or scripturally, but in our everyday life with husband and wife and with one another. All right, now where we are in the midst, just to pull you into the, where we're studying the means of spiritual love, the means of fulfilling the commandment to love one another as I have loved you. And the means is our faith. The cause is the Holy Spirit, but we're looking at the means. And last week we just dived into some definitions of what faith is. We looked at Webster's understanding, and then we looked at Hebrews 11. And then we looked in point four, the summary. Faith is the means of recalling anything or receiving anything from God. Here we spend time. And very important to what we're going to be seeing in the crisis of faith. I get excited at my desk, and things that I already have typed up and we're working on, and things that I'm beginning to see now in the study of spiritual love. Are we losing it, Leslie? Okay. Are the things that we're seeing and what we're going to be looking at in spiritual love, the crisis of faith, the faith that God is looking for, and degrees of faith and all these kinds of things. If we can slowly go how God has taken us on this journey, if you really believe the merit of faith is the object of faith, if you really believe that and understand that, it's a nice thing to say, oh yes, the object of the merit of faith is in the object. So here's the subject, and we'll say the subject is me, and the verb is faith, trust, believe, that type of thing, and the object is, you know, in this case, God, the one sent by God, first sending Jesus Christ, second sending the Holy Spirit. Okay, but it's all in the object of faith. Do you really believe that? Because what I've begun to realize is people are, yeah, until you start seeing what that means. And then you go, oh, no, I don't really believe that. Do we really believe that the merit of faith always is in the object. Can the object fulfill that for which I have believed it? Now, if you believe that and understand that, that's going to make it very easy for you to, as we go into a lot of passages that we're going to start Sunday morning, well, probably not this Sunday, but next Sunday, but we're going to start right away in our crisis of faith, and that is faith really increased and does it need to be increased? In the traditional way that man thinks of the word increased. The disciples increase our faith, and Jesus Christ gives a very interesting answer to that. But if I really, truly understand that the merit of faith is in the object and not the subject, then you're going to have little problem in understanding this whole concept of magnitude of faith or increased faith or all of this type of thing and what it really means in Scripture. But if we were just thinking through, let's just say we're thinking through this before we even get there, and we're just talking about it. We got three things here, and so we're just here talking, and we're talking about it like we're sitting down at a coffee shop, and we're just, you know, okay, can faith be increased? Does faith need to be increased? All this type of thing. If we start with the principle that we're looking at here, the merit of faith always depends on the object of faith. Always, 100%, it's the object. Nothing to do with the subject. Then why are we so caught up in the subject here, increasing our faith, if it's not the subject? So, but, well, I really want to say that I have to increase my faith. Hey, that's me-centered. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. That's me. That's me being a part of this. And I really want my faith to increase. Is that going to affect the subject or the object in some way? Then why are we so caught up with the idea that I've got to build faith like muscle? If it has nothing to do with the subject, then it has totally to do with the object. I want you to think as we go through it. Do I really believe this statement? Because it sounds good until we have to find out what it really means then. If I say that the virtue, the merit, the power, any of the effectiveness of faith has nothing to do with the subject but with the object, that's really going to guide me in a lot of these passages then that we're going to be looking at. And I know about them. Believe me, I'm studying them. And what do they appear to say, and what are they saying? But if we just start here in a just a friendly little understanding that we would all say, oh, I agree to that, well, then why do you want to concentrate on the subject increasing and building muscle of faith? Yeah. Increased in what way? That's the secret. Okay.
And the more I'm going
to turn over
to him. Okay.
Basically, the more I learn about him, the more I realize he's doing it all in. Okay. Now, let's talk about your word. Run to him. Turn to him. Turn things over to him. Okay. And that's the question. Is there any more faith than before? In other words, I'm going to take an example that we're going to look at. I'm going to take an example. Go ahead.
Well, so really, I'm not. By running with him, I'm not suddenly going, I can handle it. Mm-hmm. You know, I can
okay.
So, yeah, I'm ready to do it. Maybe there's more here, but it is more faith for
him. The same faith. Same thought, same amount of faith. Yes, sir.
Not more faith, just in a way of needing to be tested and look in perhaps more moments of our daily time.
That's it. You hit it. Let's look at, let's see. Let me see if I can, we can do something here. If I can find this, if I can't find it quickly, we're not going to worry about it. The thing we're going to look at, and I might as well just go over it with you a little bit here, and so that you'll get it again, but maybe it's going to take a couple of times, and that'll be in a different series anyway, and so it won't really hurt for us to do that. And so let's look at Luke 17 a moment. Let's just do it. This is what we're going to look at in a couple of weeks, but I won't wait a couple of weeks for you. You're here. You want to know. You want to understand. And I won't go through every little thing, but so you see the thing here, and then we'll come back to it in the crisis of faith, so that you at least begin to see what I'm talking about in the increasing of our faith and how that is really not correct. Okay, verse 3 begins the challenge to faith, the challenge. Verse 3, be on your guard. That tells you something right offhand. Be on guard. This is going to be tough, people. This is Christ speaking. What I'm getting ready to say is going to be tough. If your brother, as a fellow believer, sins, rebuke, and this is, if he sins against, and the context is we're going to see is against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day, and returns to you 7 times, saying, I repent, forgive him. Now the disciples, they saw, this is enormous, this is unbelievable. What is really the issue? Look what they say. Increase our faith. Now, here's what we're going to do, Bruce. We're going to take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This bird, and you know what's funny? We'll do this when we come to the passage and study in detail. Let's just take a day, not 24-hour period. We don't want him waking us up at 3 in the morning repenting. So let's just say he does this in the day. And so we'll start at 6 in the morning, go to 6 at night. That means about every 2 hours this bird is going to sin and come back to us. So every 2 hours this guy's going to come back. Now here's my question. Is it going to take, they ask for increased faith. They understand what a lot of Christians don't understand. It's an issue of faith. Forgiveness is an issue of trusting him. We're going to have fun there. Now, they saw this is going to get tougher and tougher and tougher, and it's going to demand more faith, increased faith. Now, let me ask you a question. Is it going to take more faith the 6th and 7th time than it did the 1st and 2nd time? No. It's not going to take more faith. So what's going on here? Okay, here's what's going on. 1st time, okay, 2nd time, 3rd time. 4th time, what starts happening in here? What starts happening, people, is this. I start looking at the sinner, the sin. I start judging. You're not really repenting. As if I got, you know what a lot of Christians think the definition of repenting is? You won't do it again. That's not the definition of repenting. I don't know where Christians got that. It's not that way in lexicons. It's not that way in dictionaries. It's not that way in the Bible. But somehow it has been passed down to Christians. If you really repent, you really won't do the sin again. Repentance has nothing to do with whether or not I'll do it again. Walking in the Spirit is going to determine whether I'm going to do it again, right? I mean, does anybody disagree with that? Does repentance have anything to do with whether or not you commit the sin again? No. Not any way. Not by its definition, by its use, by its understanding.
Okay. But boy, I've had it. I mean, it was just 2 hours ago you came and said, oh, repent, and I forgave you. And in that 2 hours, you went and did it again to me. Whatever it is. Let's just say I was stealing some money from the cash register. And you did it again. I don't trust your repentance. Is that what your trust is supposed to be anyway? You start looking at the sinner. The sin. The judge is repenting. We start looking at self. Become occupied with self. So is the sixth and second time more difficult? You bet it is. You bet it's more difficult. Does it demand more faith though? No. The same grain of mustard seed of faith here is the same grain of mustard seed faith there. It's just going to be intensified as to trusting God. Doesn't take more faith. Circumstances are intensified. Increase our faith. What got me was because people, I grew up thinking you increase faith. I think I probably taught it. I don't know. The muscles. Going in a gym and you work those muscles. And what is the weight? A weight is resistance against the body. It's really gravity. You're working with gravity on free weights. And you're resisting, and boy, that builds the muscle. That's testing. And the more testing you do, you build the muscle of faith. And that's what we want to do. We all want to look like Samson. Like faith is something strong. Do you realize what we're saying when we say that? We're saying that faith is what makes something happen. That's why people start worshiping faith. That's where you get the faith people. Faith in faith. If you had enough faith, this wouldn't happen. If you had more faith, this wouldn't happen. Like God is looking for more faith. Be careful. Stay with Scripture. What did Jesus Christ say? Increased faith. Sounds great. I will compliment them and praise them that they did see the issue of faith. To forgive 7 times in one day. Boy, that's insightful. Maybe that's a mile step for me. And I don't have any problem with this. It's a logical concept. Boy, this takes more faith down here. This just takes more faith, God, to forgive them the 6th and 7th time. Lord, and boy, I'm really going to need some great faith to do that. No, you're not. Look what Christ says. Look what Christ says. And the Lord said, I will increase your strength. I will increase the magnitude of your faith because you asked for it. Is that what he said? No. Look what he said. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry, actually a sycamore tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. People, does it take more faith trusting God here than it is here? No. The grain of mustard seed of faith is all he's looking for. That's all he's looking for. Is it more difficult? Yeah. The intensity? Yeah. Opposition? Yeah. What is Peter? Let's say Peter. I want anyone to tell me. We're just talking. This really isn't a Bible class of theology. This is our family here. Okay, does it take? Let's talk about increased faith, and that's the way we're going to use the word, meaning increase the magnitude, the muscle, more faith, all that. I want you to answer me a question. Does it take more faith for Peter to walk, we'll say 10 feet away, than it did to get out of that boat and start walking? Anybody say, does it take more faith out here than it did to get out of the boat and start walking? Anybody think it takes more faith to be over here than it did to get out of that boat and start walking? Anybody? No. We know better. What happened? And what happens to all of us? The 6th, 6th, and 7th time starts working on me. I get my eyes looking at the sinner. I get my eyes looking at me, and they're sinning against me. They've hurt me. They're stealing from me. They're committing adultery against me. They're doing this against me. They're hurting me. Me! And I don't trust their repenting anymore. You're lying. We become angry. So it's got to take more faith. No. No. that little man must have seen. I doubted it. What happened to Peter out here? He starts looking around. I'm not supposed to be able to do this. This is against the laws of all physics I know. I'm not supposed to be walking on water. And look at that water. It's getting a little hairy out here. What did he do? He stopped with the grain of mustard seed of faith. And he went down into the water. It isn't more faith, as though we need to increase it. It's that grain of mustard seed. That's all God needs. And people, let me ask you something. Isn't that really a wonderful thing? That when you and I are under the struggle here, and we'll talk about a little bit about what that is, being out there in that water, and the struggles and adversity and suffering, and we're just out here to know, boy, it isn't something that I'm lacking. I don't have this great strength, and boy, if I just had more strength, I could do it. What a cop-out. That's a cop-out. Christians use. I don't have enough faith. Yes, you do. Are you saved? Did you have enough, a grain of mustard seed, to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? Yes, then you've got enough faith to move mountains.
If they shouldn't have asked for increase of our faith, what should they have asked for? Continue of our faith?
Okay. I have, John, let me say a couple of things, and that's what I tried to do when I talked about it. I have no problem with this question because it's normal and it's the way we want to think. A man doesn't think the way God thinks. I love that they asked it this way. I love that they did because it gives us this opportunity, and it gives Christ the opportunity to say, you have enough. You have enough faith. Use it. It's not the matter, I'll come back to you. It's not a matter of the increase of faith. It's the matter of using the faith you've got. What happens to me out here? What happens to it? I don't want to trust God. I don't want to forgive. That's what happens.
Except if you really have had seven encounters with someone who's true Christian, that's where prayer comes in. I pray to be strengthened with the Holy Spirit.
But we're just that, and there's nothing wrong with the
faith.
There's nothing about faith. But no, it's about faith. From my standpoint, because grace is from God, not from me. We don't extend grace to one another. And what Christ is saying to you is, you have enough. Trust me. Yes. And what does that strengthen? What does all of that mean, though? Yes, continually. That's just what I'm trying to communicate.
The humbling of myself. I'm out of myself.
Okay. But what we're looking at in the context is faith. What they're not lacking prayer here. Prayer isn't the issue here. Christ didn't take them to prayer. No, in context. Just staying in context here. Of what the way Christ answers them. It's not a matter. Now, what I can do for you is say, in here, if you would just use that grain of mustard seed of faith, he'd probably lead you to prayer. But Christ is just talking here about what they ask. They have been recognized. The problem right in here is a problem of faith. That's the problem. Yes. And that's what I said. I have no problem. All I'm saying is, in the context of our study, they've asked about faith, and Jesus Christ is staying with that issue. He didn't go bring up prayer yet. He's talking about, if I'm walking by faith in the Spirit, he's going to lead me to pray.
Well, just so people who are here that maybe haven't been believers a long time, it sounds like self-effort.
What sounds like self-effort?
If you're not asking someone, if they're struggling and they feel they aren't able to forgive someone, that there's a call out to God and pray on teaching.
What sounds like self-effort? What I'm teaching?
When you're not teaching about the dependence
No, it's the dependency is faith. The dependency isn't in prayer, though, see? You will pray. But what I'm saying, it's not a dependency on prayer. It's a dependency on trusting God.
But
if you are pounding that, then I understand. Okay. But, that's the whole point. This is not self-effort. This is not self-effort. If it's self-effort, I'm going to need more faith here. But what Christ is saying is, you don't need more faith.
I'm saying the literal experience, if it really happens to someone, I don't know if many people, for example, a husband, commits adultery 7 times in a row and they're called to forgive them. Then between the probably already second or third offense, I would have to be in my prayer
class. Okay. I have no problem with that, Sue. I have no problem with that aspect. But even in your prayer, you're going to Him. I'm trusting Him.
Right.
And it's because of Him I'm going to forgive.
Right.
I'm not going to forgive thinking of the sinner and thinking of myself and thinking of the sin.
Right. But only through His grace can I get off of looking at the sinner, looking at the
sinner. Great. And how do I tap into His grace?
Prayer.
No. Faith.
Well, faith.
Okay, not faith through prayer. Honey, you're making me sound like I'm taking away from prayer. I'm not. I'm trying to stay with what Christ is saying in this passage. This is not an anti-prayer discussion. Even to go into prayer, I'm going to be walking in the Spirit. I'm going to be trusting Him. And He will lead. But what Christ is talking with in our passage is trusting. Am I going to trust? And the disciples realize this is the real issue. In forgiving the 5th, 6th, and 7th time, are you going to trust me? Are you going to get your eyes on the sinner, on the sin, on judging the repentance, on self and how you've been offended and you've hurt and all that? Or are you just going to continue trusting me? And it takes no more effort to trust Him here than here. Bruce, does that communicate?
Like you say, it did take more the 5th, 6th, or 7th time than really probably what I was trusting in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd time was Him to stop it. So what I was trusting God for is to do what I wanted to do.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's another great point. I didn't even walk that way. What am I really trusting Him to do? I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting Him for the wrong thing. And then I get over here. You know, I become angry at God. This whole thing isn't working. And what God is saying is, now, you don't, repentance doesn't have any control. Your faith has no control on that person. We're talking about you. Boom, 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 boom. Later we're going to talk about the sinner. But right now we're talking about you. Beautiful. Because I'm trusting God the wrong thing. It isn't working out. And I trusted Him. And like you said, really what I'm trusting God to do is change this yo-yo. And He's not being changed. 2 hours later He comes back. 2 hours later, I've had it. The last 2 hours, I got a gun. And it's right. I have been trusting God. I love that because you know me. Is it the faith that God is looking for? So, is it the faith that God is looking for? But what I want to show you is it takes no more faith the 7th time than it did the 1st time. It's just that it's more difficult. It's more challenging. But will you do it? If you had enough faith, he said, look what he said now. Concentrate on the Lord's answer. Let's don't concentrate on their question, because their question is really not the answer. He gives the answer. If you would use the faith you have, let's translate that way. If you would just use the faith you have, you could move the sycamore tree. If you will use, you don't need more faith, just use the faith you have. What about Peter here in the water? Peter, you don't need more faith out here. Just use the same God of faith that got you out of the boat in the first place. So what he's really looking for, and what Christ is talking about here, people, is not the increase of faith, but the presence of faith. Will you trust me? Yes.
Would it be okay to say, as a synonym of faith, and there are synonyms that are okay, like believe, trust, abide, with reliance.
If you understand reliance, it's trusting.
Yeah.
And trusting. Yeah, we're trusting Him rather than as Bruce pointed out, trusting Him to change this guy, looking for a change down here rather than just for trusting, relying on God. They would still be wrong. They would still be wrong. Because they have enough faith. They have, what they're asking is an increase in the amount of faith, as though it's going to take more faith here than it does here. Okay. But what they want is an increase in amount. And there is no, it don't need an increase in amount. Yes. And what they're asking. Okay, what are they asking? Okay.
I'm saying increase their faith as in reliance, which is trust, which is abiding.
Oh, you're saying that's what they should have said.
Yeah.
Okay, I follow you. I can say yes to that. If I want to pray this. What I say is that if I'm going into this prayer with God, y'all are going to prayer and you're missing me out on faith, and I don't know why I'm not communicating this well tonight. But if I'm going to go to a prayer in this kind of thing and move into this other area and get away from faith, that I would pray to God that He would bring me closer to Him and keep me walking in His Spirit as opposed to concentrating on the man. I have no problem in talking about it, but even in the going to God, the issue that Christ is talking there is not about the prayer, not about what I did. It's talking about trusting Him. And what we need to do is, I don't need more faith here than I do here. I need to use the faith. The difference is the use of the faith, the presence of the faith, not the increase. We don't need an increase. We just need the presence. That's all God is looking for. And to me, this is a really wonderful, wonderful thing, because here I am ragged and worn. I am wondering about a lot of things. And I'm so thankful that God said, if you just give me a grain of mustard seed of faith, I'll strengthen you. My love will strengthen you, and my love will work on them. I'm not asking you, Christian, Herman, I'm not asking you to give me a whole lot of faith here. I'm asking you, if you just give me that much, I can work a miracle here. I can work a miracle in your life. Forget the sinner. I can work a miracle in your life. If you just give me that much faith, it's sixth and seventh time. That's all it takes for me. And I will work miracles. I will do that. And so and to me that's a wonderful, wonderful thing that, boy, I just don't have enough faith to, and people will say that, I just don't have enough faith to forgive them the sixth and seventh time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do have enough faith. You're saved, aren't you? Yes. Then you have enough faith. Use it. Use the little faith you have. See? That's all you have to do. Let me give you an example that we'll use. I'm thinking about using my first visual aid for you, but I don't know if I will. It's kind of corny. But I think I even brought it out there last week. It's like you put a pack in the board, and I have the strength to pull it out, but I don't have the strength to pull out a nail. So I said, God, give me the strength to pull out the nail. You've got the strength to pull out the nail. Use what I've given you. So I take the lever, I take the hammer, and with the strength that I already have, boom, I get the nail out. It's the same amount of strength. I have moved the nail. I have moved an immovable object, the nail out of the wood, with the same amount of strength that I had a moment ago. I did it through his provision. It doesn't take more faith. So let's don't worry about, do I have enough faith for this, and I don't have enough faith for this, and boy, this is just demands too much of my, I just don't have that much, I'm going to have to get more. I have enough faith. You have enough faith. You have enough faith to forgive the seven times, which is a picture of the love of the cross. And then very quickly, look what he says. Jesus Christ said, in answer to them, if you had, meaning if you just used the faith like a mustard seed, that little bit, you would say to the sycamore tree, be uprooted. Now, uprooted is generally a term of judgment, isn't it? You're saying uprooted, some kind of a force uprooting. But what's the next word? And be planted. Now, that's a good word. That has good connotations in Scripture. In the field. And it would obey you. So, what Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about the sycamore tree and the sea and all of that, but what Jesus Christ is saying here is, he's just saying, that's all I need is that much faith, and I can do it. Yes.
Therefore, it would not have to be, it would never diminish, nor would it ever need to be replenished.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
It
will not, see it that way.
Yeah, it will not grow. It's just there. Just trust me. It's all God is saying. Just trust me. I'm God.
And it's not like you've got one other grain, you've got to get another grain, and you get another grain.
No.
It doesn't diminish, therefore it doesn't need replenishing. No.
Always there.
It's just that measure of faith that is always given to everyone.
Yes. Given to everyone. Yeah. That's it. You trust him or you don't. It's the presence of faith or the absence of faith. Now, this is the passage increased faith. Now, we've got other passages that is in problems. We've got 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Well, your faith is increased and your love is increased. Two different words, though. And we're going to look at what's happening there. It's just the first adventure that we're going to go on this. There are 20 different kinds of things said about faith. And before we're through with the crisis of faith, we will have looked at every one of them. I will not sidestep any one of them because I've looked at them and I just can't tell you what's going on in my office. I'm just amazed as a little boy what I was not taught about faith. I'm just amazed at what I was not taught about faith. And why we become so man-centered. And boy, I want to build my muscles of faith where I look like Samson. People, I always want to look like a weenie, a little weak person to him, and just trust in him. Because he can take that little faith and move mountains. It can move mountains if I trust him. Yes.
You could say the faith is either on or off, like a light.
Good. That's it, John. That's it.
When you use the example of Peter, each step, if he dependent, God says I can walk, therefore I'm taking this step.
Yes.
God on the second step, on the seventh step.
Good.
God says, I can, therefore I can.
Yeah. I can do it.
No more difficult.
And what happened to him here? Was it a matter he didn't have enough faith for another step? Does anybody want to say that? Somehow he didn't have enough and it wasn't there. He had it. What did he do? He took his eyes off and started looking at self. This is when faith is always challenged, isn't it, people? When we look at ourselves or the circumstances, this is too much for me. This is too much for me.
Must it only
trust, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Just keep your eyes on me. I'm the one doing this. I'm the one handling this person, not you. What are you going to do to the sinner and the sin and all of this stuff? Just keep your eyes on me. This is, and I love the disciples that they saw. Boy, there's the real problem of forgetting somebody 7 times in one day. Trust in me. Jesus, trust me. And if there's no more trust here than here, and it's far more difficult because, boy, the challenge to look at the water, to look at all of this, it's deep set. But if there is no more faith, I have the faith. Now, will I use it or not? Turn on the light or not? Or turn it off? Stop looking. Stop trusting. We're going to look at a lot of examples. These just popped out tonight. But, boom. Man, think of it. I mean, if we want to do this, I almost want to do it in reverse. This, to me, would take a lot more faith than this. To me, this is the greater faith. Boy, this, I wouldn't be asking for increased faith. I'd be asking for faith right here. I'm going to get out of a boat and start walking on water? Boy, I'm wording this humorously, not judging Peter. mean, if you can do this, you know, you can water ski on top of water the rest of your life. To me, this is the big one. Boom! You got out of the boat. You defied every law there is, and God upheld you. Boom, keep doing that. Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's it. And we're gonna call that, Susan? We're gonna call that building up a mass of your life, a faith where the mass of things in your life you're going to start handling by faith. If you start with me on that one, you're gonna understand the First Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. And which is beautiful. It's beautiful. But I hope you see it. This wonderful thing called faith, and I want to repeat this because to me it was the most wonderful thing, most liberating thing in my office. People never demand more faith from me. I feel so weak. I feel so, God, I even don't want to trust you. I don't want this. I don't want this. If you can give me that much, I'll carry you through. And I don't know about you, but I love that. When you've been here and you know you're not Superman and you know you don't have muscles of Charles Atlas and all of that, boy, it's wonderful to know he'll take a grain of faith and he'll move a mountain. That's God. And that makes the issue real clear that it isn't me. Because see, if I say it takes more faith, increased faith, this type of thing, are we not, and see if you understand this, if you don't, please raise your hand and talk with me. We've made faith a work. We're putting our faith in our faith. You got to have more faith down here. We've made it a work. But if it's the same grain of mustard seed, I know it isn't me. But if I say I've got to build faith and really bulk up on faith, then I say I've got to do this. And so God just, you know, and I'm going to tell you a legitimate prayer off of the same principle of building faith. Every time I go into the gym, my prayer before I get involved is, I don't want to hurt my body, I don't want to do this, drop a weight on my foot, all these kinds of things that can happen to you know, keep me from studying or teaching or something, and help the body be healthy. And so what will we do? Well, God, give me a test and make me stronger. God, give me another test tomorrow and make me stronger. God, give me another, and it's all me. God says, you don't need to be stronger, and there you just need to trust me with the faith that you have, that I've given you. That's all. I'm not asking you to come up with something. Me is going to come up with it. Don't make faith a work. Don't make faith something you can say, this believer has a whole lot, this believer doesn't have very much at all. This believer has all the faith that is necessary to go through hell and back. Because it's Christ. And that's what Christ is saying. Does anybody not see that that's what Jesus is saying here? It's not the increase of faith, but the presence of faith. To me, it was just so beautifully clear. He did not say, I'm going to increase your faith. He did not say, do this to increase your faith. He did not say any of it. He said, let me tell you about it. You've asked for the wrong thing here. Just use the faith you've got. And we can get to that. Now, let me do another thing. As you well know, one thing that I ask you a lot in my teaching is the view of God. Now, let's talk about just how what we've gone over in the last few minutes together with what it sounds like to our ears now. Now, let's listen to it with a different ear. Okay, I want to have enough faith over here in the most severe of crises, and I want to build up my faith, have an increase of faith, versus I'm just going to trust in you with what I got. My whole relationship with God is different. When if I think it's me and my building up of my faith, and I've got to be somewhere, I've got to have something. Do any of you really believe that's the view of God? I've got to have something. God's demanding greater faith here than he is here. God's looking for more faith here than he is here. That's the view. Or is God going to take me because this is so difficult that all I can express is a grain of mustard seed of faith to him. Over here, boy, I was applying, pardon the expression, I was applying doctrine right and left. I was patting myself on the back. Oh, I forgive, man, and yeah. And then, oh, boy, the cross did that. And, but now, all the things that I worked strong in, they're going weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And I'm down here, and boy, I'm just, you know, going on fumes here. Will you take just a little faith, God? Yeah, it's the same faith.
Grace will go up and down.
What do you mean the grace will go up and down?
Grace. If you're on a low ebb and you've lost hope and you don't think God is in the midst of it, by trusting the Holy Spirit, with prayer, the Holy Spirit will pray. You pray to the Holy Spirit, he'll lead you to ask God to be strengthened with the Holy Spirit so you can forgive the fifth time, the sixth time, the seventh time.
Yeah. Let me just ask you, do I need to ask him, or is that what my faith is? But it is, am I not empowered by the Spirit just by trusting? Do I need to ask? I'm sorry? Yeah, I mean, isn't that what I'm doing? Yes. Yes. Okay. You know what I see? Your word for grace is what I'm talking about, the power of God in working and doing all he's doing every time I do it. I have no problem with that. That's what I'm doing. If I just trust him, and I love the word grace, I love that better than power. If I just trust him, each one of these, his grace comes through. His grace comes through to me. His grace comes through to this sinner. His grace comes through. If I would just handle this by faith, then God's grace comes through in every respect. That's his grace, his love, his power.
That's what rises to the
Yeah, exactly.
The faith stays the same. Yes.
Yes. And what you've gone through, Sue, is 2 Thessalonians 1, where as I continue in the faith, what is going to increase is, what you're calling grace, is his love. His love is what's going to come to the surface to one another. So the more that I will walk by this, what you said, John, at the very beginning, is just boom, 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 over and over and over, and that's what the seven times a day is. Just you build up this kind of momentum of the faith, and what's going to come out of that is what you're saying, the grace is going to be revealed, and that's his love, and in this sense, love for one another. So that angels are watching. Look what this creature born of woman, Job, is doing. They're forgiving all these times, boy, only the love of God can do that. So love for one another is increase in magnitude. Now, that's what increases in amount. That's the Greek word there is magnitude or amount. And we're going to study that. So as I build up the intensity of faith, I build up the intensity, and seven times is pretty intense faith. And as I do that, what starts becoming evident is the increase of his grace and his love. Yes. Intensity of the presence, either way you want to word it.
Okay.
The reason I'm using the word intensity is to find a different words, and I've got others, just different words to demonstrate, because there are Greek words that are talking about something is you know, this passage, to me, this passage is out. Because this passage clearly teaches there is no increase of faith in this passage alone. We've got other passages we're going to look at. But there are other passages, like the 1 Thessalonians we're going to look at, that seems to say increase faith, increase love. But that's not what it's saying. These are two different words. So what I'm looking for is right here to explain to you what this is. To explain to you, this is going to be easy. This is the magnitude of the force of his grace or his love. That's the increase of the magnitude, the measurability. Love can be measured. Love is a force. Force can be measured. Magnitude. What I want to look at is, what, if you've got a force in motion, physics. If you just think physics with me. You got a force. What is going to increase the magnitude of that force? And that's what you have with faith. Faith, without itself being increased in the sense of measurable, increases the magnitude and force of love. Grace. I have no problem with that. It increases the presence and the reworking of God in our lives, in the assembly, in the way we deal with one another. Your love for one another enlarges. It's bigger and bigger in magnitude, in impact, and its effects in their lives. It's powerful. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly, and that's what he's saying, and it affects it in the spiritual warfare. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I'm having so much fun, I'm just giving away all my fun stuff, but Archimedes. Let me tell you what Archimedes is. He's a Greek inventor. We're going to talk about him. This is what this mortal said. I want you to listen to this arrogance. This mortal said, if I had a lever long enough and a place to pivot it, I could move the world. Now, was Archimedes being, you know, just giving a big illustration, or was he just talking? No, he's right. Mere man, I mean him, and he wasn't an athlete. Here he is, Archimedes, a man, and over here is the world. All he needs is a lever and a pivot point. Fulcrum. And this is what you were talking about, the reason I'm putting it right here. So here's my faith. Here's the object I want to move. Here's the power. The grace. The love. That's going to do it. Not me. But here I am, here I am, and I just push on my end here with this faith, just that much, boom, with the strength of a mere man. And what is lifted? The whole world. I don't know how much the world weighs. But the whole world is now moved. Not a mountain. I mean, he went beyond just moving a mountain. He said, I'm going to move the world. And I can move it. If I had long enough a lever, I can do it. So, if you say anything more, we got two pictures. We got, and I'm going to do this. We got Archimedes, he's just this little stick guy here. Okay? Or, we've got Charles Atlas. Big pecs, you know, big chest, great big bulging arms, and big old legs standing here with the world on his shoulder. You ever seen Charles Atlas with the world on his shoulder? Which is it going to take? Charles Atlas with all that muscle, and that muscle leak in his face? Or just a little old skinny Archimedes pushing down here, and God moves the world? That's what we want, people. This is what angels are watching for. And it's not very often done in church history. Because we just won't trust him. We just won't give him that little bit of faith. We start looking, as we go back, we start looking at the sinner, and we start looking at the sins, and we start looking at the water we're walking on. We start looking at the obstacles. We start looking at the adversities, the sufferings, everything, and we get our eyes off of him. And what happens when we do that? We're not trusting him anymore. And what does he want? Oh, people, it's hard. I mean, I'm not saying this. About the seventh, sixth, and fifth, and sixth, and seventh time, that's pressure. That's why he said, okay, but if you just give me that much faith, I'll demonstrate my love, my grace, because I'm the one doing it, not you. It's time. We just trust him, and he just. Yeah. Yep. And it becomes to the point where his love. So you can say, what is the deal after the seventh time? Either unbelievable foolishness or unbelievable love. One or the other. If I do it in the flesh, it's unbelievable foolishness. If I do it in the power of the Holy Spirit by trusting Him, it's unbelievable life. His life. Unbelievable power that did it. Not me. This is the opportunity you and I have in our short lifetime. And Christ used a real example in the sins of the seven times. Because, boy, we get to the fifth, sixth, and seventh time, and, oh, it's going to look tough. But it doesn't take any more faith than the first time. All you got to do is just trust me. Just like you did here. But I love what you said, and I want to write that down, because in here we probably were trusting him to change that person, not really trusting in the sense of trusting God. Did I see that? Yes.
Point of the fifth, sixth, and seventh time, it doesn't necessarily have to be more
difficult to tell. Doesn't have to be. Yeah. Doesn't have to be. In fact, I'll submit that it might be the antithesis, because as we see these moments of faith being executed, this is a confident expectation of the hope.
Okay.
For a lot of people, John, that seventh time, it's harder and harder. For those who've gone through the crisis of faith over and over and gotten through this thing, I'll offer up my son, God, because that's what you asked, Abraham. It was easy. See what you're saying, right? It wasn't all that difficult when he got there. It wasn't all that difficult because he had gone through the crisis of faith. So can we hope to get there? Yeah. But what we have here in this illustration is that for a lot of people, it does get very tough all through here. But yes, we can also reach that point where Abraham's asked to offer up his son on a sacrifice, and it, as we've studied, he's very peaceful with it. Yeah. Raise him up. His faith was unbelievable. You know, his faith was there. He didn't talk to anybody. Didn't he tell his wife that he knew? He didn't go and tell this. Hey, honey, I'm going to go sacrifice a kid. You're going to what? You nut? So he kept it himself to him and God, because he trusted God. I will come back with this son. I'm not sure how it's all going to work, but I'll come back with him. So why get her all upset? So there's the one thing you're looking at, yeah, and then there's the thing where it becomes very tough, but it just takes just as much faith each time, all the way through. And that's what we're taking a look at. I hope it's made some sense to you. I hope that as we continue to go through the crisis of faith, each lesson, each study, each verse, each passage, and I will cover all of those things that deal with faith. And like I said, I found 20 so far that deal with some kind of dealing with faith. And I'm not going to skip any of them because they give us a problem. We don't want to look at that. I'm not going to do that. We're going to look at every one of them. And I hope when we're through this journey, you're going to see, yeah, that this is all God has ever wanted for me from the cross on. And it just comes down, will I trust him even when I don't want to trust him? Lewis Berry Chafer, in closing with Lewis Berry Chafer here, he said in the book that you have in the foyer, he said it is not a matter of the Christian getting more of God. And that's what faith, we're talking about increased faith, I want to get more of God. It is a matter of God getting more of me. How does God get more of me? I just walk in my faith. Just be tested. And God gets more of me. Not me, more of God. Letting him get more of me. Because more of God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the journey tonight. What a joy it is, Father, to open the scriptures and see these things and talk about them. Go over these things, Father. And pray now that you would take those things that you have revealed to us, Father, and make them real in our soul. Cause us to see that every aspect of the Christian walk is about you. The increase of the demonstration of your glory, your love, your power, your grace. And that we just simply have the pleasure trusting you. So, Father, you take these things and make them real in our soul. Spirit will continue to work and open our eyes so we might see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.